Councillor David know, because I'm one of the local ward councillors for this area, which is called Cathedrals Ward. And it gets its name because we're very blessed to have two cathedrals in our ward, which is Southwark Cathedral and St George's Cathedral down at on St George's Road at the Elephant. Obviously, it's a great honour to be an elected representative and to represent constituents. But it's also, I have a double blessing in a way, because it's a great honour to represent an area with such a rich history as this part of Southwark does and this part of London does. Obviously, we have, our history goes right back to Roman times and beyond. We have things like Borough Market and the Globe, and we have an association with three of great people in British history, which is Chaucer, Shakespeare, and of course, Charles Dickens, who we're here to celebrate today. Obviously, I'd like to thank everyone for attending today. We sort of missed the 1 week of slightly warmer weather. We seem to have got back into the cold weather again, I'm afraid. But it's very exciting, obviously, to be here to this is installation of the dog and pot sculpture. And as I say, to celebrate Southwark's link with Charles Dickens, whose bicentenary, of course, the country has been celebrating over the past 12 months. To mark this occasion, we've actually have a few guest speakers to say a few words. And in fact, we're very honoured to be joined by Mark Dickens, who is a direct descendant of Charles Dickens. I'm just going to ask Mark to say a few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the last day of my great-great-grandfather Charles Dickens's bicentenary year. And what a special way to celebrate it. The borough of Southwark has an amazing heritage, including many surviving buildings and artefacts associated with Charles Dickens. And the one we're celebrating today, the dog and pot sign, is particularly significant. It always reminded him of a major turning point in his life, when, as a young boy, in the depths of despair, instead of turning inwards on himself or descending into crime, he funneled all his energy into a burning ambition to succeed, if he ever got the chance. At that time, he was only 12 years old, just like the children from the Charles Dickens Primary School behind me. His life seemed to be falling apart before it had even begun. His father had been sent to prison for being unable to pay his debts, and the young Charles, as the eldest son, was taken out of school and sent to work in a blacking factory to earn money to support the family. His job was to stick labels on shoe polish bottles for the princely sum of 6 shillings a week. That's 33 pence in today's money. And out of that, he had to pay his rent, give some money to the family, and if he was lucky enough to have anything left over, to have something to eat. He was hungry, dirty, and miserable. And he must have resembled one of the urchins in Oliver Twist. At that time, he lived close to the Marshalsea Prison, which is just about a third of a mile away from here, near St. George the Martyr's Church. And he lived in the back attic of a house in Lant Street. And that's where the Charles Dickens Primary School is today. He described his landlord as a fat, good-natured, kind old gentleman with a quiet old wife and a very innocent grown-up son. And they were to appear later as the Garland family in the old curiosity shop. Walking from the blacking factory to his lodgings took him down this road. And he wrote, as is written here, "My usual way home was over Blackfriars Bridge and down that turning in the Blackfriars Road, which has Rowland Hill's chapel on one side and the likeness of a golden dog licking a golden pot over a shop door on the other. He swore to himself that if he ever had the chance, he would go back to school and make something of his life, which of course he did. From this humble start, in this very spot, my great-great-grandfather rose up to become, as Prince Charles himself wrote, one of the greatest writers of the English language, who used his creative genius to campaign passionately for social justice. This fabulous dog and pot sign is therefore an important symbol to Charles Dickens's life. And I would like to take this opportunity publicly to thank Southwark Council, the steering group, and Jason for this amazing sculpture. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Mark, and thank you very much for attending. I'm just going to say a few more words. I'm probably going to go slightly off message, which is always a danger when you give a politician a microphone. But the other one, of course, is that I might go on for a long time, but I'm going to try to resist that. I just want to say that, I mean, personally, I've always been very excited by history. Ever since I was a child at school, I've always found history very fascinating. And I've recently been very excited about, obviously, the discovery of Richard III's body in Leicester. And I just want to say, as a ward councillor, give you a little bit of the history of how we came to be here today, and also to acknowledge some of the roles of my constituents and some of the other people who've been involved in this project. The first and most important person I want to mention is Jason Brooks, who's the designer and who's here with us today, and who had really the original inspiration and idea for this project. And if it wasn't for his idea and his inspiration, none of this would have happened. He actually sent me an email asking to come to my surgery to discuss his idea on the 10th of July, 2008, in which he said, and I quote, "We are planning to embark on a fantastic heritage project which could ultimately create a new landmark for Southwark and London." Just over 4.5 years later, after that first contact about his big idea, we finally stand here today in front of the realisation of his vision and for bringing back a piece of history into this area. And I have to say, people who have big ideas, I think Jason is an inspiration to us that you have to pursue those big ideas and that they don't all automatically happen. It's taken 4.5 years for it finally to be realised. And I suppose the key to that in the end came in the fund that we managed to find some finance for the project from what's called Section 106 money, which is the money we get from the regeneration projects in this area. Now, the regeneration projects in this area are controversial, and not everybody loves all the regeneration projects in this area, but I hope that everyone will acknowledge that this is one good thing that we can say that has come out of regeneration in this part of Southwark. The other people, of course, I think if someone has a good idea, you have to sell that good idea to other people, and you have to get other people who come on board and share that vision. And there are just a few quick people I'd like to say, although I know I'm going to be followed by Councillor Veronica Ward, who's going to also thank these people, but I just want to do it from a local councillor perspective. One, obviously, is Stephen Humphrey, who's also here, standing here, who's one of our local historians and probably knows as much about this area and the history of Southwark as anyone, and was absolutely a close collaborator with Jason in making sure this project happened. The other is Lee Hatz, who's also here, and was also involved in the steering group, and runs our very respected and much loved SE1 website with his son James. And the third key person I want to thank is Maxine Walker, who is also here. I can't see her now. She's hiding there. Who's the chair of the Nelson Square Tenants and Residents Association. And I do want to say just a few words about the Residents Association, because this sculpture has been placed effectively on their estate, or what used to be their estate. There used to be a wall here, which has been removed. And for the project to be realised, it did require a much-loved community garden space to be removed. And there was also a very much-loved monkey puzzle tree, which some of you may or may not have noticed, which has been relocated to the rear of Rowland Hill House. So I think as much as we all love this project, it must be acknowledged that sacrifices have been made, most particularly by the monkey puzzle tree that's been moved to the back of Rowland Hill House. And we're all keeping our fingers crossed that the monkey puzzle tree continues to live and, you know, doesn't die as a result of its move. So hopefully, because that would be a definite negative out of the whole project. Right. And then finally, the other person, people I'd like to thank, I'd also like to thank the Canterbury branch, the ladies from the Canterbury branch of the Dickens Fellowship, who are here in marvellous costume, in period costume. Where have they gone? There they are. Thank them for coming up from Canterbury. We're very grateful that they've come to add colour and a sense of history to our occasion. And then finally, I just want to say a big thank you to Antonia Clark and Yvonne Sampo, who are the project officers at Southwark Council. And to be honest with you, none of this, again, would happen without their hard work and involvement and overseeing today's event. So a lot of work goes into making a project happen and an event to happen as well. I'd also obviously like to thank and recognise the support of Southwark Council, and also to say that we're delighted to be joined by Councillor Veronica Ward, who is the Cabinet Member for Culture, Leisure, Sport and Olympic Legacy. I guess you're still using the Olympic Legacy. And I'm just going to invite Veronica to say a few words, and obviously we're very pleased that she's been able to join us today.
Thank you very much. A very few words. I must say, this is a wonderful project. What a wonderful idea, reading about it, I realise. And now I'm looking at it.
Yeah,
and looking at it, it is very, very impressive indeed. It really looks... Is that all right? Am I doing it? Right, yeah. Because in this bicentenary year, which we've just been told this is the last day, which is very interesting, I think Southwark has really done, you know, we've done a lot about Dickens.
Absolutely.
And tried to do a lot about Dickens, who is so important to Southwark and so significant and actually has contributed to Southwark as such a centre for culture. And we've had our exhibition, and we do have trails, and this will be something that people will, you know, come and have a look at, and will be of real interest, and add to our heritage. So this is a very interesting story as well, the design from the cellar cupboard. There's more to it than just this happened to be hanging over a shop. I've also got a list of people to thank, which is within the council, but also I wanted to say thank you very much to those people who thought of it, because I knew that a lot of work had gone into this, that obviously had over many years, getting to this wonderful point where we can see it. So thank you very much indeed for adding really very significantly to what we have in our heritage in Southwark. Yvonne Sampo, thank you, the Frameworks and Implementation Team. Julie Edwards, Landscape Architect from the Public Realm Team, designed the planting and layout. Street Metal Services, Daniel Robinson, Nick Holstead and John Yule. They usually do street lampposts, so this is very special and will have to be looked after as well. I'm aware that it's metal, so we'll have to make sure it's well looked after. The Dog and Pot Steering Group, which presumably some of those people that we've been thanking have done the work. The Housing Department, who of course had to be very much part of this, because it's a part of the housing land and the estate. And then we have the external partners. There's Jason Edwards again. Thank you very much indeed. Mike Painter, Master Carver and Sculptor. Owen Cunningham, Metalwork Sculptor, who designed the bracket, which is very, very good, I think. Paul Elms of Tilbury Editions, who has created the first day cover stamps, which mark the unveiling of the sculpture and are available for purchase. I am at this point reading that. This is interesting. Steelway, who worked to produce the replica of the coal hole cover found at the base of the column. Oh, right. Conway's, who did all the, you know, the work of putting it in. Perry Scott and Perry Scott Memorial Masonry for all the related engraving within the project, including the inscription. So I think this is wonderful and a really significant day. Thank you, everyone.
Right, thank you very much, Veronica. Without any further ado, I think we're going to do the official ribbon cutting. We've been given a pair of scissors, which I think the idea was that all three of us were going to cut it, but I think it's a little hard with such a small pair of scissors. So I think I'm going to ask Mark to cut it, because I think that's the most appropriate.